The Bible reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians, starting at chapter 5, verse 11, and continuing into verse 6. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, and this can be found on page 1161 of the Church Bible. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Jim. Shall we pray as we look at God's word together? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these words from Paul for us today. And Holy Spirit, we ask that as we look at your word, as we discuss it things together now, that you would fill us with a deep knowledge, a feeling of your love, of Jesus's love for us. Overwhelm us with your love as we look at your word this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, about 25 years ago, I came into St. Patrick's Church for the first time. I hid over there in the corner, and at the end of the evening service, I tried to sneak out again, and this lovely lady, Mary Martin, she very gently intercepted me, and she said, would you like to come to a course about Jesus? And called the Alpha Course, some of you might know it. And over the next few weeks, to cut a long story short, I went along to the Alpha Calls every week, which was at the house of another two different people of St. Patrick's, Alan and Jennifer Fisher. Jennifer's here this morning, which is fantastic. And every week I went along and I ate loads of lovely food that had been prepared and cooked by another load of people from St. Patrick's. And every week I was loved and cared by another load of people at St. Patrick's, like by Sylvia Brown, for instance, Pauline Mould, Mary, who I mentioned, Daphne Crawley. And each week I heard more and more about Jesus from another lot of people from St. Patrick's, people like Brian Brown and Jim Mould and Michael Lewis. All these people that I've mentioned also heard loads from me, loads of questions from me, and they shared lots of tears with me along the way. But you know, with the loving, patient help of all those people, I realised that my life was in a mess. I heard about Jesus, and I knew that if I turned to him, well, I would be forgiven of everything I'd done before, and I could live with Jesus forever. I could be reconciled, restored into a relationship with God the Father again. So I made the decision to give my life to Jesus. And you know, it's the best thing that I've ever done. It was the best news that I ever heard from those people at St. Patrick's. It was life-changing news. It rescued me from hell where I was going. It rescued me to be with God forever. 25 years later, it is still the best news that I've ever heard. Well, what was going on there 25 years ago? It was evangelism. It was different members of the St. Patrick's family, because of their love for Jesus, because of the love that Jesus has shown to them, working together in any way they could, because they wanted to be part of sharing the good news of Jesus with me and with others. It was amazing. And I know that for the last 25 years since, that's what we've continued to do here at St. Patrick's. And as part of that, the leaders of St. Patrick's have tried to help us, or have helped us, because it's been sometimes tricky, to be more confident in talking about Jesus, more natural in mentioning Jesus' name in conversation, for instance. In 2020, we had Name Him, which was brilliant. It was that springboard for us to be able to talk about Jesus more naturally, more confidently in our conversation. And it still sticks in my head. When I talk to people and church comes up, or St. Patrick's comes up, or faith comes up, or God comes up in the conversation, my mind is going, name him, name him. And I try to get the conversation to talk about Jesus, because if you can't talk about Jesus, you're not telling them the gospel. And, you know, even during, those horrible times of COVID, that isolation, the frustrations, the pain, the grief of COVID, even there are opportunities for us to name Jesus, to evangelize for him, to tell people about him. But, of course, COVID was obviously really disruptive. It was hard. And, you know, opportunities for us to tell people about Jesus changed, and some disappeared. And then we had the building project. And that was disruptive as well. Although we kept so many things, people did brilliantly to keep things going. But it was disruptive. But now, COVID is under control. Now, we have a fantastic new centre. And we want to use this church, and we want to use the Centre for Evangelism, to reach out and to speak out with the love and the good news about Jesus. The time has come for us at St. Patrick's. The time has come for us to reboot, refresh, restart, call it whatever you like. The time has come, as Paul writes at the end of that passage we heard, I tell you, now is the time of God's favour. Now is the day of salvation. Some things have started up again, which is great. And like, we started something new recently. We did Hope Explored, a 3-week course, which was fantastic. Really enjoyed people coming along to that. But there is still loads to do. And that's why, as David said, we are starting a 3-week series of sermons talking about evangelism as we lead in to our post-Easter launch of our new vision for evangelism across St. Patrick's. And, you know, you might be sitting there, you might thinking, well, you know, evangelism, that's not new, is it? No, it's not new. It's not new. But it is absolutely vital. It's as vital now as it was when Paul wrote this letter 2,000-something years ago. And so it's right and it's good to refresh our vision so we can increase the momentum, so that we can increase our participation for this new, exciting season that's ahead of us. And, you know, I just want to emphasise, I'm talking today about St. Patrick's Church. I'm talking about us here, you on the live stream, people listening to the recording, who are members of St. Patrick's Church as a family, a mission for Jesus to evangelise through our activities here. I don't want you to stop doing whatever else you're doing at home and work and school and so on and so forth. And often they're really linked. Of course they are. You know, they're often the same thing. But this is about our vision as a family at St. Patrick's. Like those people 25 years ago, a cast of many, all working together because of our love for Jesus, to bring the good news to Jesus through our activities here. All of our activities, I mean, all of them. Whether we're eating or whether we're meeting, whether we are talking or caring or praying you know, whether we're playing, whether it's a big event, whether it's a small social thing, our goal as a family at St. Patrick's will be to talk at some level about Jesus, or to point people to someone else who would tell and talk about Jesus. Brothers and sisters, believers in Jesus, if you're listening or watching or you're here today, what part will you play? I know from discussions that a lot of us are already talking about different things. Things are beginning to warm up and things are being planned, which is great. But I think that for some of us, this is going to need a change, an intentional change in our lifestyle, in our the way that we do things and think about things, our commitments, for instance. We're going to need to be intentional about freeing up time and changing our schedules so we can be part of St. Patrick's Church evangelising for Jesus. Will you do that, please? Will you do that? I am so thankful to those people 25 years ago that I mentioned who led me to Jesus. And, so I would know that reconciling love of being back in relationship with God the Father. And those of you who know me know that I'm absolutely passionate about the local church of St. Patrick's. I want you to be passionate about the local church of St. Patrick's as we share Jesus with people. But I don't always feel fired up. I'm sure you don't always feel fired up. And I guess you'll have days, well, like Paul when he writes, because when he writes this letter, he's in a real tough situation. You know, he's got a difficult situation with the church in Corinth. And as he writes to them about all sorts of difficult things, what comes out is that he tells us how he's motivated to keep on keeping on talking about Jesus and the gospel. And our reading that Jim read to us earlier is like it's a small extract from this letter that Paul wrote, the Apostle Paul, to Christians in Corinth, a place called Corinth in Greece. And as I said, it's a messy situation. Paul had established the church there on one of his missionary visits. But since then, the relationship between him and the church had been at its best up and down. And most of the time, it seemed to be really messy, really strained. And he was constantly having to put the Corinthians straight on their behaviour. He had to push back on false teachers in the church. And he had to defend his own position as an apostle, because people were saying, you know, you're always suffering. How can you be? How can you be an apostle for Jesus? You don't look the part. And, you know, it would have been understandable if Paul had just given up on them, because he had plenty of other churches to look after. But he was motivated to keep keeping on to ensure that the true gospel of Jesus was preached. So let's look at, there's four things I think that stand out in terms of that motivation today. Let's look first of all at chapter 5, verse 14, at the bottom of page 1161. It says, Paul writes, "For Christ's love compels us." Christ's love compels us because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he, Jesus, died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but live for Jesus. He's motivated by Christ's love. He is overwhelmed that Jesus died for him. He's so compelled that he would just do whatever needs to be done to share the good news that he has now received himself. I mean, Paul was someone who hated Jesus and Jesus' followers. But through an amazing encounter with Jesus, his life was completely turned around. And he knew now that Jesus' death, along with Jesus' resurrection, it meant victory over sin and death. It meant that Paul could live forever. You and I can live forever with Jesus if we believe in him. And for Paul, that love poured out by Jesus into his life through his death on the cross was a motivation above all other motivations. Paul realized that Jesus' act of reconciliation on the cross saved him from certain hell. And so Jesus' perfect sacrifice of love for him on the cross compelled him to tell as many people as he could in as many ways as he could, even if others didn't like his style, or as we read in verse 13, people thought he was out of his mind. As we sort of talked a little bit about in the activity earlier on, We have the best news about Jesus if we believe and trust in him. And if you are a Christian here today or listening or on the live stream or whatever, I asked you, are you overwhelmed by God's love? Are you overwhelmed by God's love? Ask yourself now, are you overwhelmed by what God has done for you in the death of Jesus for you? Are you amazed by his love? Do you keep thanking him for reconciling you into a relationship with God the Father that's now going to last forever? If the answer to that is yes, that is wonderful. Pour that out in encouragement to other people around you. But, you know, maybe as I sort of touched on earlier, maybe, you know, your burning for Jesus feels a little bit like a weak, faltering flame at the moment. I don't know, maybe you've been a Christian a long time and you've lost that initial love, or you've forgotten how much Jesus loves you. Maybe you're just so busy. Maybe the pressures and intensity of your life are such that you're not making time for Jesus. Well, can I encourage you? Whatever your circumstances, however busy you are or not, whatever the responsibilities, can I really encourage you today, sometime today, tomorrow, and maybe use the rest of Lent to make time, prioritise time in your life and allow Jesus to once again overwhelm you with his love. The magnitude of his saving love that's reconciled you for an eternal relationship with Almighty God the Father. Paul was motivated, he was compelled by Jesus' love. You know, and as I said, I think that's all he needed, really. But Paul was motivated by other things as well. He was motivated, as we read in verse 18, that he'd been commissioned by God as well in the ministry of reconciliation. You know, I'm often brought to tears, joyful tears, especially when I sing some songs, some worship songs, when I think about where I was and where I was going and where I am now because of Jesus' reconciling love. I know that, you know, I could never be in a relationship with God if it wasn't for God doing it for me, because if it had been up to me, it would never have happened. And I love the images of what reconciled with Jesus, with God, means. I love this image of a new creation. It's just, you know, a creation that, you know, even though I will die physically, I'm going to live forever with God physically later. I love that. I'm a new creation. You're a new creation if you believe and trust in Jesus. And verse 21, it's a difficult sentence, a verse, but it's a great verse. Let me just read verse 21. God made him, that's Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God, the rightness of God. I love this image of my sin, all my rebellion against God, being transferred onto Jesus, and his righteousness, his rightness with God, his perfection being transferred to me. Everything about me was wrong about my life, and now everything about it is right, because God looks at me through the perfection of the Lord Jesus. And God gave Paul, and he gave me, and he gave you, if you're a Christian, that ministry of reconciliation to be part of, driven by your experience of being reconciled, and then to tell others. Tell others about Jesus so they can be reconciled and restored, their relationship with God restored as well. Do you want to be part of that reconciling lives for Jesus and with Jesus? Do you want to witness more new creation sprouting out all around you? I do. Do you? That motivated Paul to evangelize. And then linked to that, he was motivated by the opportunity to work with others as ambassadors, as it says in verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, carrying that same message of reconciliation of Jesus' love to wherever he could, as fellow workers, as he says in verse 1 of chapter 6, fellow ambassadors, fellow workers. Do you know, I've always quite fancied being an ambassador. I think I've got the stature to be an ambassador. I met a few when I was working at the British Embassy in Egypt during the 90s, and I met a few when I was working as a debt collector for the Ministry of Defence in the 80s. Ask me about that after if you want. Can't say it, I'm live, thinking of me too. An ambassador is a chief representative for one country, usually located in another country. If we've been reconciled by Jesus, reconciled with God, God gives us this marvellous privilege of being his ambassadors. And what a wonderful motivation that is to tell others about Jesus. I'm an ambassador for God. That's amazing, isn't it? We are the chief representative for God. To anyone we meet, every time we meet them, taking the message from the King of the new creation, into people who are still in the old world of the old creation that's dying. Taking the message from the new creation, the King, which will go on forever. It's amazing. But hang on. I'm not some super evangelist. I'm not special. How can I be an ambassador for God with all my faults, all my weaknesses and my many excuses for not doing it? But then on the other hand, who am I to second guess God? If he says be an ambassador, Dave, who am I to second guess it? And that's what Paul says in his letter. He says God knows who I am. He knows my character. He knows my strengths and weaknesses. And as he says in verse 11 to 12, God's trusting me with the ministry of reconciliation, so I'm going to get on with it. And that's what we need to do as well. But there is a warning. There's a warning in here from Paul that he raises. As God's ambassadors of that one message of reconciliation, we need to make sure that we are all on the same page. And it's important as we think about our vision now for evangelism that we're on the same page, that we're not against each other in any way. As Paul says in verse 1 of chapter 6, he says, don't receive God's grace, don't receive God's reconciling grace and then use it in vain. Don't receive that grace and use it cheaply by opposing things, by being an obstacle for things. And so, we will on occasions, I know this has happened to me, sometimes we're going to need to confess and repent of our opposition or our criticism of something going on in St. Patrick's, so that we are one family of ambassadors. And then if all the other motivations weren't enough, compelled by Jesus' love, given that ministry of reconciliation and sharing the message together with fellow ambassadors, Paul also says that he's motivated by a healthy fear of the Lord, as he says at the beginning of our passage in verse 11. Paul, although he's overwhelmed, he's compelled by the sacrificial love of Jesus. He doesn't forget that Jesus is his holy King of the creation. And so he's motivated by that reverence, by that fear, by that awe. He'd been talking in the earlier verses up to verse 10 that Paul was talking about the day when Jesus will come in judgment and he will decide who's going to live forever with Jesus and who's not. And he's going to say to the people that he has saved, who's reconciled to be with God forever, he's going to say, Dave, yes, Jesus, Dave, how did you get on with evangelism at St. Patrick's? And what Paul says and what I say, I don't want Jesus to go, didn't do very well there, Dave, did you? I want Jesus to say, well done, good and faithful servant. So, as we, as a family of St. Patrick's, here today, on the live stream, listening to recording, whatever, we're all one family of St. Patrick's. Let's get ready for this new season of evangelism at St. Pat's. With these, maybe these and others, but here's four motivations for us all. Let the love of Jesus overwhelm you and compel you. Be part of the ministry of reconciliation that you've experienced if you're a Christian and that God has now given you at St. Patrick's. Work together as a reconciled team of ambassadors with the same message, doing our part, supporting each other, whatever that might look like. And do it to please Jesus because he's the King. Some of you will be here today listening, as I was 25 years ago. You haven't yet given your life to the Lord Jesus. Well, can I tell you, I'd love you to do that today. But if you're not ready, I'm going to tell you there's a load of people here at St. Patrick's, including me, who will continue to welcome you and continue to love you. And we are compelled to keep on telling you about the love of Jesus, because it is the best news you could ever hear. What's holding you back, if you're not a Christian? What's holding you back from being in, joining us as ambassadors for Jesus? If you've still got questions, you know, why not do one of our courses? Hope Explored is 3 weeks. Christianity Explored is 7 weeks. Similar things. I'm going to be starting a Christianity Explored course in the next couple of weeks, hopefully. Do another Hope Explored when people need it, but definitely after Easter. You know, I'm going to be flexible to do these courses when people need to do them, because I am compelled to tell you about the love of Jesus. So, brothers and sisters, will you join together with the rest of the family at St. Patrick's over the next few weeks, the next few months, the next few years, in this new season of evangelism at St. Patrick's? And with me, with the rest of the family, see people come into faith in Jesus, reconciled into an eternal relationship with God, as the Holy Spirit uses us, his ambassadors, and leads people to be reconciled with God. Will you be part of that? Will you be part of that? Are you ready? If you're not, will you make yourself ready to be involved? Ready to volunteer without being asked? Ready to respond when you are asked? To be part of us as a family as we try to reach out and speak out for Jesus? Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we cannot do this without you. Holy Spirit, we cannot do this without you. Lord, as I preach, I'm scared. And I'm sure everybody else in this church is scared. Because it's hard. It's hard to talk about you. And yet, Lord, you've called us to be your ambassadors. We want to share the fantastic, wonderful, overwhelming love that you've shown for us on the cross. Will you equip us over these next days and weeks and months, Lord? Would you fill us with your spirit, with that urging, that can't think of the right word, that you would compel us to want to be part of it, be part of St. Patrick's work, to lead others to you, Lord Jesus. And in your name we pray. Amen.